We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is 209. Hey, pleased to be joined in studio by Michael Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Pleasure to visit with you. Thanks so much for joining us. I should ask, do you prefer Mike or Michael?
You can call me Mike. That's all what right, I've always right. gone as, so I appreciate yeah. it. And thanks for having me in today. I'm looking forward to the time we have together today.
Yeah, now you've got a big title, Director, Office of Traffic Safety. Tell us about your background.
Well, I've been in public service for really my entire adult life. I spent almost 35 years in law enforcement, 33 of those with the Minnesota State Patrol, enjoying a wide variety of assignments and geographic assignments as well across the state. And when I was coming close to retirement, the opportunity at the Department of Public Safety with the Office of Traffic Safety became available, and I wasn't ready to be done. I have a lot of passion for traffic safety. It's something that I've been committed to for my entire life, and it's something that I think I have more to contribute to. And so when Commissioner Mona Doman at that time offered me the opportunity to take over at traffic safety, it didn't take too long for me to make that decision.
Yeah, and I think anybody who has spent any time on the roadways know how serious this business is, or anybody who's come up on the scene of an injury accident or a fatality knows how serious this business is, and you understand that firsthand in your experience as a trooper.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, that really is where this job starts and ends. It's with preventing those things from happening in the first place. 94% roughly of all motor vehicle crashes are the result of human error. And so that's really what the Office of Traffic Safety is all about, is identifying how do we change driver behavior? How do we make human beings better drivers so that we can prevent those serious and fatal crashes from ever happening? We may never get to the point where we prevent every crash from happening, but we can get to the point, I really do believe in my heart of hearts, that we can get to the point where fatalities are no longer a part of what happens on our roads and serious injuries are greatly reduced from where they are today.
And things have changed a great deal from the time I started driving a long, long time ago, longer than I want to admit. Just the safety of our roadways and the safety of motor vehicles themselves. Now, we'll get into new technology that's changed things for the worse, but at least when it comes to motor vehicles, you talk about not only people wearing seatbelts, and there's been a long-standing campaign, but airbags, crumple zones, all the technology that goes in to make our cars safer is really extraordinary.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, we really do owe an incredible debt to all the engineers out there who work not only in the designing and the building of the roads that we all drive on and use every day, but to those who design and build the cars that we operate on. They have really had a significant contribution to the reduction in the serious injury and fatality rate that we've seen. Now, if we can just figure out how we can do a little bit better with that human component, we'll really start to pull everything together and really start to drive those numbers down even further than we have so far.
It is amazing technology on the flip side, cell phones, portable technology, people checking email, sending texts, talking on the phone. And the legislature has taken a step. It was signed into law by the governor and goes into effect this summer, and that's the hands-free law.
Oh, exactly. And that really is landmark legislation that I was privileged to be a small part of. But it was really driven by that most effective political mechanism that we have out there, and that is the people. This was citizen activists, victims' families who drove that legislation across the finish line and enabled Governor Walz to sign that into law. And it will have a significant impact on safety on Minnesota roads. we have to get there quicker, though. Don't the message that we're trying to get out of DPS is don't wait for August 1st to make those changes in your behavior, to start to separate yourself from that technology that we're all addicted to. Now is the time to figure out what your options are so that on August 1st, you don't really have to worry about the penalties and the additional enforcement programs that may take place after that time. So it takes all of us working together to make our transportation system work. And that's from engineering, from our EMS providers, from our educators, and everybody else, and you know, certainly our enforcement partners. We at the Office of Traffic Safety work with over 300 law enforcement agencies all across the state all year long on a variety of projects. And when we bring those four E's and everybody else together, which is kind of the foundation for the Towards Zero Deaths program in Minnesota that we partner with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Health on, we have seen that progress, and we have seen that reduction in the number of serious and fatal crashes.
And we're going to open up our phone lines on the program today. If you have a question for Mike, certainly his experience as a trooper and now the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, 651-989-9226, or you can text 81807. Certainly rules of the road, questions about what you can and can't do legally on the roads here in the state of Minnesota. But let's get more into this new law that goes into effect in the hands-free law. And I know while this was being debated and a final version of the bill was presented to the governor and ultimately signed into law, there were a lot of questions and there was a lot of public debate about this. What does the law say? What are we looking at on August 1? And what do you recommend as people change their behavior? I think first and foremost, if you can put the phone in the trunk when you drive to work or drive to the store or wherever you're going, that would be the best to not be distracted by the phone. But that's not what the law says.
And I would agree with you. The whole intent of the law is to refocus our attention on that critical task, which is paying attention behind the wheel. And that's what it takes to make our transportation system work safely. The beauty about the law that was written and that was passed, and this goes, a lot of credit goes to the authors, Colonel Matt Langer with the State Patrol, who was very instrumental in crafting some of this language, is it's very simple. It's hands-free. That phone cannot be in your hand at all. You can activate it by voice activation or by a single touch, and that's it. That's the long and the short of the law. So it's easy for all of us to understand, and it'll be much more easily enforced by our law enforcement partners when and if they do come across folks and drivers who have not gotten that message yet. So it can't be in your hands. That's really what it comes down to.
The State Patrol will do enhanced enforcement of for instance, looking for drunk drivers or distracted drivers. I would assume that once this becomes law on August 1st, there would be an enhanced enforcement program. And I would assume education is already cranking up. That's what we're doing today, is reminding people, hey, you might as well create new habits now.
You hit on a great point there, Steve. Education is the key here. We are, if you talk to Colonel Langer or anybody in law enforcement across the state, we are not going to enforce our way out of this problem. It is going to take voluntary compliance, which means educating everybody about what they can and can't do and what they should and shouldn't be doing behind the wheel. As far as any specific enhanced enforcement, there's nothing really specifically planned at this time. We may take a look at some of those projects and programs as we get a little bit closer to August 1st, but really what we're focusing on is reaching out to all of Minnesota, to all of our many various and diverse communities to make sure that we're getting the information out there, what the law is, what it means, what your options are, and what you need to be prepared for when August 1st rolls around, and hopefully before then.
I think of seatbelts. Once upon a time, most people didn't wear seatbelts. Kids were not restrained in car seats or booster seats. I tell the story from way back when I was little, my mom would say, well, we'd just lay you down in the back seat of the car. Things have changed a great deal. Now it's very rare to see someone not wearing their seatbelt. That is one where, sure, there's been enforcement action, but there's also been tremendous educational efforts where it's like it makes total sense to wear your seatbelt. Now, I'm sure troopers, local law enforcement still find people not wearing their seatbelt, but it's got to be pretty rare.
Oh, that's exactly right. We have come a long way. When I started in law enforcement in the mid-1980s, our seatbelt compliance rate, you know, was probably in the mid-20% range.
Wow.
You know, last year we were over 94%. And so we have made tremendous strides with that. And I think we're of the same generation because I remember traveling back and forth between either the Minnetonka area and South Dakota where my folks grew up.
Oh, sure.
In a station wagon with my brothers and sisters. And because we were the younger ones, we got the floor in the back seat. Now, we didn't even get the seat. So, yeah, we have come a long way. And we've learned a tremendous amount about why that is so important. And as a result, you know, our fatality rate has really gone down. In Minnesota, we can pat ourselves on the back because we have one of the lowest fatality rates in the nation. The fact that we're still seeing 380 fatalities occurring every year. One is too many. 380 is just far too many. So we have a lot of work to get done in the future. But we've also seen what works in the past, and so we're building on those successes as we move forward.
Another area where there's been tremendous work done on the education side and certainly on the enforcement side, it's gone hand in hand, is driving while intoxicated. But there is still too many people that are driving under the influence. It goes without saying there's a tremendous enforcement activity 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year, and there's a nonstop education effort. Progress is made, but not enough.
Right. And again, we've made tremendous strides with that. And really, if you look at what the options are available now, there really is not any excuse for anybody to be arrested for an impaired driving offense anymore. Whether it's a rideshare program or staying with a friend or making – really what it comes down to is planning ahead. Have that plan before you go out if alcohol or something else is part of your socializing or whatever is going on. Make that plan ahead and then stick to it, and you won't find yourself in that position with that impaired driving arrest. And again, the progress that we've seen is tremendous. You know, again, back in the mid-80s, roughly half of all fatal crashes involved an alcohol-impaired driver. We're now somewhat below 30% on that. But the fact that, you know, somewhere around 100 people a year are killed in completely preventable events in Minnesota tells us that we have a long way to go. And the fact that officers, troopers, and deputies are still making over 25,000 arrests every year for impaired driving offenses tells us that we have more work to do. But it's, again, changing those public perceptions and the public attitudes about it. It's no longer socially acceptable to be arrested for an impaired driving offense as it was maybe when you and I were growing up. We've made that progress, but we have more to do.
Mike Hansen joining us, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us in studio for the entire hour. Rules of the Road, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Of course, the big story, the new hands-free law that goes into effect August 1st. Let's go to the phone lines. Debbie and Crystal. Debbie, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering on the hands-free law, if you're working for a company and they just have like a walkie-talkie type telephone, you cannot call out. It just goes to the home-based store and you push the button like a CB and you say, yes, go ahead. And how do you, would that be enforced also? Because it's like a walkie-talkie or a CB microphone, but you cannot call out on it. It's only from the store to, because I'm a delivery person.
If it's a radio type of system where it's just a mic and it's kind of a closed system where you are talking to dispatch and dispatch is talking to you, or like a ham radio operator or things like that, there is an exception in the law for that. So as long as it's exclusively used for that. But again, we always caution that even though you can, you have to make sure that we're always paying attention to what is going on around us and giving that driving task the attention that it deserves.
From one of our listeners, does this new law affect passengers that want to use a phone inside the car? Does this only impact the driver?
Only the driver. And we're actually passengers. You can be the designated communicator in the vehicle, whether that's because you're doing the texting or you are doing the navigation, whatever it is. The law applies only to the driver and nobody else.
We did get something from the text line that I think is a good point. By the way, 81807, 81807 is the text. Please do that safely. And, of course, our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. What about law enforcement? Sometimes a driver will say, you know, law enforcement may be looking at the computer that's on board or the keyboard. Are there rules? Is there training associated with the state troopers through local law enforcement about what type of devices they should be using on the move?
Every one of those, there is an exemption in the hands-free law for law enforcement and emergency services providers, such as fire and EMS and those types of things. Quite honestly, sometimes in the course of doing their job in responding to those emergencies, there is some information that needs to be communicated using that phone. But the core responsibility to always operate whatever vehicle that they are in a safe and proper manner still rests with that that officer or that firefighter or that paramedic. Many agencies are now adopting, including the State Patrol, a hands-free policy where if they are going to interact with that phone, they have to do it in a hands-free mode. Certainly with all the other technology that's in the squads, that's in the paramedic rigs and in the fire apparatus, the computers and all of that, again, the driver has the ultimate responsibility for knowing when they can look at that for information and when they need to be paying attention to what they're doing behind the wheel. So there is additional training that's provided, and there are exemptions in the law for those situations. But, again, we all have that responsibility to operate safely all the time.
Now, this bill deals with cell phones, tablets, that sort of thing. One of the other things that I notice is people that have GPS or have a fancy vehicle. I have an old pickup, so I don't have this fancy monitor with this entertainment system and touch screen and all that sort of stuff. But there are a lot of vehicles equipped with some toys, if you will, up front. That has to be a concern for law enforcement and someone in your spot.
And it is. And it's also a concern at the national level with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They're starting to take a look at these infotainment systems, as you refer to them, and exactly how much technology is too much technology to build into our cars these days. There is an exemption in the law for devices that are used exclusively for navigation. So like a Garmin that you would use for navigation, or if you are using that cell phone or smartphone exclusively for navigation, you know, that is allowed. We always encourage folks to use that touch-free voice-activated or single-touch function whenever possible. If you're going to use that device to help you get from point A to point B, program it before you leave, and then you don't have to worry about it. And then the in-vehicle systems, there's also an exemption there. The good news is that most of those navigation systems and most of those infotainment systems automatically disable most functionality when the vehicle is in motion. So that kind of takes care of that. Technology saves us from that challenge. But again, irregardless of what your system is capable of, the ultimate responsibility still lies with the driver.
Yeah, and what comes to mind are rideshare providers. Whatever ride share you do use, that's pretty typical that they will have a device of some sort, you know, mounted up on the dash, you know, to show them where they're going and show the passenger that they're following a proper route, et cetera.
Right. And again, that is allowable as long as you're using that, exclusively for that navigation purpose, and as long as you're not interacting with that device and using that single touch or using that voice-activated command. And most of the systems out there now are capable of that. Some of the older legacy ones still require a little bit more interaction. But again, pay attention to what's going on in the vehicle and around the vehicle and to that driving task.
Let's go to a quick call. We've got the weather coming up momentarily. Let's go to John in Bloomington. John, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. I'm not sure if you had spoke about it yet already or not. What are the fines for the offenses on the hands-free?
Good question, John. It's something we get quite a bit of. Hands-free is a little bit unique in that it has a graduated fine structure under current law. The base fine for a first offense is $50. Now, when you factor in the additional court costs and surcharges that are tacked onto that $50 fine, an average citation for a first offense is going to be $120 to $130. For second and subsequent offenses, however, that base fine goes up to $275. And so when you tack on those surcharges and court costs, it's going to be over $300. For that second and subsequent offense. So you can see that even prior to the hands-free legislation, our legislators were taking a strong look at this and trying to find different ways to discourage people from interacting with those electronic devices.
Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, in studio for the entire hour. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. If you have a question about the new hands-free law going into effect this summer, August 1st, 651-989-9226, or you can text 81807. That is 81807 here at CCO, and other rules of the road as well. As a matter of fact, coming up out of the break, we have a question about lap dogs. And also, we're going to get some other questions from our phone lines about rules of the road, and that is the all-important job of stopping for school buses and, of course, heeding the warnings of the warning lights and the extended stop signs. We'll get into all of that coming up here in a moment on the CCO. 2:35, 25 minutes now in front of 3 o'clock. Pleased to be joined in studio today by Mike Hansen. He's the Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, longtime state trooper, now doing a lot of great work behind the scenes as a director of the Office of Traffic Safety in this hands-free bill. A big, big accomplishment. And now, and before we go to the phone lines again and go to our text line, I would assume law enforcement training is a part of this, helping make sure that all the state troopers, all the sheriff deputies, local law enforcement understand the law.
You're right, and that's something that we've actually been working on actively for about the last year. We've done a number of training sessions and set up a basic curriculum so that the officers, troopers, and deputies have a clear understanding of what the law is. And then, again, the beauty of the hands-free law is it takes all of the ambiguity and all of those roadside conversations out of the mix, because if the phone is in the hand, that's the violation, and it really doesn't matter what you're doing with it. And so under current law, texting is against the law. But if somebody is scrolling for a phone number or something like that, it leads to a lot of those roadside conversations that kind of the questions that come up later on in court as well.
Yeah, and I think testimony on this particular bill before it became law, and you mentioned it at the top, victims' families had a tremendous impact on the legislators that ultimately passed this bill and sent it to the governor. It's hard to argue with what people really went through in people who were injured and killed as a result of distracted driving.
Oh, exactly. And it was sons, it was daughters, grandchildren, grandfathers, aunts, uncles. This really was an incredible group that came together and joined a club that nobody wanted to be part of. And they worked tirelessly for years to get this legislation through. And it was their efforts, as well as the efforts from folks from Minnesotans for Safe Driving and especially the Minnesota Safety Council and a number of other entities from across the state. I think there were over 40 business and industry groups that supported this, as well as the Minnesota Trucking Association, the Insurance Federation of Minnesota. It really was a something to behold. This was how democratic government should work. And again, it was a privilege to be a small part of that process.
We want to go to the phone lines. Phone lines are open if you want to visit with Mike about the new law going into effect on August 1st or other rules of the road here in the state of Minnesota. Let's go to John and Savage. John, you're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Mike. I've got a quick question regarding school buses. Sometimes you see them parked and the yellow lights are flashing. You never know for sure whether they're flashing because they're going to extend the arm and have red lights or not. So the question is, whenever you see them stop, but the yellow lights are on, but they don't seem to be doing anything, do you stop or do you keep going, or what's the best way to handle that?
I guess the easiest way to answer that without really getting too technical is look at that sort of like you would a yellow traffic light, is that you should be stopping for that. And when it comes to those school buses, you never want to take the chance because you don't. Kids are always going to be unpredictable, and the drivers do a great job, really a great job, keeping those kids safe day in and day out. But you just never know what's going to happen around that bus. So the default answer is, if you have even the slightest question whether it's safe or legal to do so, is just to stop and wait for those flashing lights to be turned off and then proceed.
The law is pretty clear, though, when that stop sign is extended on the school bus and the red lights are flashing. You must stop, period.
Absolutely. There is no question. When the red lights are on and the stop arm is extended, you have to stop, period.
Yeah, and there are tragic instances from time to time, unfortunately, where people have not heeded those warnings and stopped for the school bus.
Oh, exactly. When I was growing up up on the Iron Range, one of my neighborhood kind of my best friend at that time, just before we moved up there, Kenny was getting off the school bus on a rural highway and crossing to get to his driveway when he was struck by a driver who ran through the stop sign. And luckily he lived, but it was a terribly long recovery for him. And, you know, that was, you know, okay, 40 plus years ago, but we're still seeing that happen today, and there's no reason for it.
Yeah. So if the stop arm is extended and the red lights are flashing, you must stop. Let's go to Steve in Buffalo. Steve, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Say, I've got a couple of questions. One, when you say hands-free, if I got something attached to my dash, that's legal, correct?
Steve, you are correct, and that's a good question. As long as it is not in your hand, if it's attached to your dash, or I've seen attached to the vents with a magnet or things like that, some type of a mounting system, as long as it's not in your hand and as long as you're using either voice activation or single touch, you are good to go.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's go to Greg in Bloomington. Greg, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Greg, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to very carefully articulate a point because a friend of mine is a police officer. Number one, I'm going to get to the hands-free law, but first, we've had a law in this state in effect for many years, which is texting and driving or distracted driving. From what I understand, if you as a police officer were to see anyone sitting right next to you at an intersection texting and driving, you could issue them a ticket, but you cannot look at their phone to document timestamps without a search warrant. Am I correct on that?
Greg, a really good question, and you are exactly correct. That's a Fourth Amendment issue. Without permission or without a warrant, we cannot look at that phone.
The law has been in effect for many years. It doesn't work. It was created as a pacifier for the general public to feel that there's a law, that our lawmakers made something that actually works, when it really doesn't. Now our lawmakers made another law that is the hands-free law. Here's my logic. A drunk driver is doing his best to get home, and he's looking at the road. A person on the phone generally is looking at the road. I could be on the phone and be very observant of everything around me. A texting driver doesn't have their eyes on the road whatsoever. We can't even get that law to work. Now we're going to create a hands-free law to further burden law enforcement when the first law doesn't work. This is just crazy. We have to do a better job than this.
All right, Greg, thanks for making your point today. And I think what he's saying, you know, there are laws on the books that law enforcement has a difficult time enforcing, and people aren't following the law.
And Greg, you make really a pretty good point, actually a very good point. Ideally, we shouldn't be interacting with anything. And so it comes down to just because you can doesn't mean you should. And if you look at what people are doing, even if the texting is becoming much less of a interaction that many people have with their electronic devices, what they are doing is they're Facebooking and they're Snapchatting, they're surfing the web, they're watching videos, they're downloading things like Law and Order and those kind of things. So, yeah, this is taking it to the next level. But really, if we all make the decision to drive safely, we wouldn't need laws like this. Everybody would pay attention all the time. And, you know, when I went through driver's ed 40 years ago or so, you know, courtesy was always one of those watchwords that every one of the instructors used as they taught our classes. And that's really kind of where we need to get back to. If we can eliminate the distractions, the aggression, and the impairment issues, and get that last 6% to buckle up, you know, we can save over 300 lives a year on Minnesota roads.
Yeah, I think at some point, and let's look in the future, self-driving technology still has a long, long way to go, but it's come a long way in a short period of time. I guess I envision at some point in the future where maybe the human component will be taken out of from getting from point A to point B.
Technology will eventually save us from ourselves, and then something else will happen.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
Really where it will come to. The day that we have truly autonomous vehicles, what they refer to as a level 5, which has no human interaction at all, that's a long way off. And we have a lot of transition to take place in our fleet before we're going to get there. So the behavior issues that we work on at the Office of Traffic Safety and all of the research that our research team does is designed to figure out how to get us as human beings to more safely interact with our vehicles, with the technology, and to use the emerging technology that's out there. The manufacturers have done a great job coming up with some of the collision avoidance systems, with the blind spot reminders. You know, as they've better designed the cars, the blind spots have actually, in some cases, gotten bigger with those pillars that support the roof. And so those kind of technological advances will help and are helping right now. But we as drivers also have to understand how to use that technology and when to use that technology. Think of cruise control. When do you not use cruise control in Minnesota? A good rule of thumb, anytime it's below 32 degrees, because you never want to use that cruise control if there's the possibility that you're going to encounter a slippery spot, whether that's a ramp or a bridge deck or blow ice or whatever. And it's the same thing with some of these other driver assist systems. They have a time and they have a place, but ultimately it still comes back to the driver in the driver's seat to safely operate and control that car.
We have a number of texts piling up at 81807. Let's get back to this one before the weather break. We finally got to it. What does the law say about people riding around with pets, dogs, and I suppose cats on their lap? Is that legal? Is it illegal? Could you get a ticket? Talk about distracted driving, having Fido in your lap.
Distraction takes on many, many different forms. Certainly electronic devices are the one that we see the most frequently, or that our officers see out there most frequently. But, you know, whether it's eating a bowl of oatmeal, applying makeup, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, you name it, the officers, troopers, and deputies are seeing it taking place out there.
Eating,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, eating a bowl of spaghetti. How do you do that while you're – but we've seen that. And oatmeal. How do you eat oatmeal while you're going down the road? But having a pet in your lap can also be highly distracting. And there is a law that already applies there. So somebody, yes, you can be cited if you are failing to drive with due care. And that means you have something that is interfering with your ability to safely control that vehicle. And it's never a good idea to have a pet or anything in your lap. You really do need to be paying attention to what's going on around you. And as much as we love our pets and as well-behaved as we think they are still somewhat unpredictable.
651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Pleased to be joined by Mike Hansen, Director, the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety in studio. We have a number of texts to get to at 81807. You can call 651-989-9226. We have the news at 3. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. How's the fishing? We'll find out from Steve here at about 10 past 3 on CCO. 9 minutes down front of 3 here at CCO. We have all the news and weather at 3 o'clock. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We get started on a sports Saturday. Twins and Mariners late from Seattle tonight. Twins Magazine 7:30 pregame, 8:30 Chris Atterbury, and then Corey Provis and Dan Gladden with the play-by-play at 9:10 tonight. Twins have won 4 in a row overall, the first two games of the series in Seattle, and Jose Barrios on the mound. The Twins 29-14 after a big 7-1 victory on Friday night. Martin Perez pitched a gem in that one. Pleased to be joined in studio by Mike Hansen from the Department of Public Safety. Of course, a lot of talk about the new hands-free law that goes into effect August 1st. Did anything else come out of the legislature this session? I know that grabbed a lot of headlines as far as our roadways go. Were there any law changes to this point?
It's hard to say at this point.
Okay.
There's still a lot. There's still a lot of things in play. You know, there are some proposals really that affect kind of a wide variety of the traffic code. But until we actually see what comes out of conference committee and goes to the governor for signature, it's pretty hard to speculate on what that might look like.
So it's late, but it's still early.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll certainly keep you up to date here on CCO on what's going on over in St. Paul and, of course, online at WCCORadio.com. I suppose as this moves forward, there's going to be a lot of questions. I'm sure you're getting a lot of questions from law enforcement. And as we move forward to that August date, what about things like smart watches, et cetera? I mean, this starts getting into tricky category. You can do a lot on those little smart watches.
And again, the smart watch is in the language that's in the statute is no different than a smartphone. And so the regulations apply. It's okay to interact with that for texting or for communication as long as you're doing so using voice activation or single touch. Again, that's the beauty of the simplicity of this law is it's hands-free. It cannot be in your hand, and whatever interaction you are doing must be accomplished through voice activation or single touch.
All right, motor vehicles. What about farm equipment, farmer traveling field to field, moving implements around, et cetera?
There are a number of exemptions for that kind of equipment. But again, it comes down to that individual responsibility. And with the size and the scale of the farm equipment being operated out there, you really do need to really pay attention to what's going on around you because you are taking a very large machine on a very narrow road. And you have a responsibility to you need to move your equipment. We understand that, but you also need to do so in a safe manner. And that means disengaging from anything that distracts you from that driving task.
We do have a great text here, and it's a follow-up on what came up earlier in the program. We're talking about hands-free and making calls, texts, reading emails, that sort of thing. But what about eating, smoking, drinking, all of those things that go on? I suppose we could, go on forever about all the things that do distract the driver. But is that included in this particular law?
Not in the hands-free statute, but that's covered under the due care statute. And that is the one, that's the catch-all for distractions other than electronic devices. And that is the basic responsibility of every driver to drive with due care, taking into account the existing road traffic and weather conditions and anything else that's going on around that particular vehicle as it's in traffic. So those situations are covered, and law enforcement does take action using that statute when it's appropriate.
We're in a prime time for motorcycle riders to be out on our roads. They have been out for a while. I don't know, on a rainy, windy weekend like this, how many bikes are out. But I want to throw this out there. A number of years ago, my brother was killed in a motorcycle accident. He was driving his bike on University Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis, just south of Broadway. Woman didn't see him. And we want to remind people to keep an eye out for people on motorcycles at this time of year. And we share the road with motorcycles. Please, please look twice.
Oh, I agree. And I'm sorry to hear about your brother. That's truly a tragedy and something I'm sure your family still deals with.
It'll be 25 years ago this fall, 25 right. years.
That never, ever goes away. Yeah. And, you know, I have contact with families who I dealt with over the course of my career, even to this day. And it still is that darkest day in the family history. And you're exactly right. With motorcycles, it's see and be seen. Much like we say with pedestrians, drivers, especially with the blind spots and with everything else that's going on around us, you need to take that second look and be aware of what's going on around you and pay attention. Look for those motorcycles and expect them to be there. We have a tremendous fleet of motorcycles in Minnesota. They get used 5, 6, 7 months out of the year. So now we are coming into prime time. So they are going to be out there. Everywhere. And we always encourage riders to wear all of the protective gear and the high-vis gear. So make yourself visible so that you can be seen.
Yeah, it is one of those things to keep in mind as the bikes are out. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in studio. I know you've been very busy as this legislative session winds down, and hopefully you'll get a break and maybe be able to catch a fish or two.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk with you and with your audience, and look forward to doing it again if you should so choose.
And I would assume you look forward to feedback from the public as well, as always.
Absolutely. And for anybody who's looking for information on the hands-free law, handsfreemn.org. We've got a frequently asked question sheet there, as well as what are your options, just a variety of different ways how you can go hands-free.
Thanks again for joining us today. Mike Hansen, Director of Office of Traffic Safety, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.